Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Yes, this is indeed Mom Talk Radio and another fantastic edition of the show for you. And this is Mary Donlin and for Maria Bailey. I am pleased to welcome you to this show, which is airing on Memorial Day weekend 2018. This is such an important weekend in our history. We honor the servicemen and women who have given their lives in service to our country and through any of the conflicts in our history. So we want to honor them and particularly their families, survivors, friends, anyone who knew a serviceman or woman who died in the line of service for our country. And check out any of your local parades. There's going to be a lot of Memorial Day parades and a lot of the, like, we have a veteran cemetery very close to my house and they do a really lovely presentation there. So I encourage you to get out there and show your support for our military. And it's also actually last Friday of this weekend was my son's graduation. So it's graduation season. My son graduated from high school. He's off to Marquette University in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So that's far, far away. We are in South Florida and he's going to Milwaukee and that's my biggest fear. He is so ready to go. He's so excited, but it is cold. We are talking frigid off the lake up there. But if anybody can handle it, it's a young teenage boy, right? So I do want to wish all the graduates out there and their families a wonderful experience over graduation. All the celebrations the week before this, he went to prom. It was just lovely, and it's been busy but really exciting times. And I'm so proud of him. I mean, we were shocked to get out of middle school, but he got to high school, figured it out. Is an honor student. Has just done really, really well. So I couldn't be more proud. And I don't really brag about my kids that much. We were saying that, like, we've gotten invitations where there's, you know, honor, you know, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, all that. We don't brag on our kids that much. But in this case, I just want to just give a shout out to my son, Paul, and I'm so proud of him. So, and again, all the graduates out there, best of luck. And when we come back after a quick break, we are actually going to have a great show lineup, a little bit of a mix of topics. Our first guests are Jess and Haley. They are co-authors of the book, Always Enough, Never Too Much. And it's going to be a really interesting topic about the concept of what that book and just about, like, devotions and communicating. Why don't we ever feel like enough? And sometimes we feel like you're too much even when you're being yourself. So it'll be a great topic. And after we talk to Jess and Haley, we're going to go back into a winter show and grab a spotlight on moms. That was one of my favorites. And then our expert, Robert Hassel, is a tech and security industry expert who will be talking about a really important topic, which, of course, is safety of our kids, both online and in gaming and that kind of thing. So you'll want to stick around and listen to that. And we'll also speak with Nicole Avina, who is the author of What to Feed Your Baby and Toddler. So we've got a wide range of topics today. And we'll take a quick break. But first, I want to mention Premama. Go to drinkpremama.com. It's the powdered prenatal vitamin you can drink, and if you mix it in a favorite beverage or smoothie, non-carbonated. And they also have a wide range of complete maternity wellness products. So check it out at drinkpremama.com. We'll take a short break, and we're joined by Jess Connolly and Haley Morgan, authors of the book Always Enough, Never Too Much. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
To kick off this fabulous episode of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Jess Connolly and Haley Morgan. They are the co-authors of Always Enough, Never Too Much. They're great friends with a big passion, which is to lead women, and they lead their women they know in their churches and communities and online as authors, speakers, and business owners. And they have unique perspectives on the questions of why don't I ever feel like I'm enough? And on the flip side, why do I feel like I'm too much when I'm just being myself? Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, ladies.
Hi, thanks for having us.
The book is just released, correct? Haley, you can answer that one.
Yes. The book is, just newly released and is out April 24th. So, yeah, we're still really new to it and getting excited to see it and people see it.
And then our listeners can find the book everywhere books are sold, correct?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere else.
Okay, cool. Jess, tell us a little bit about the book, the concept behind the title, Always Enough, Never Too Much, because it is interesting. It is two pretty different feelings that some of us might have at different times, depending on the circumstance.
Yeah. Well, Haley and I actually, this is our second book written together. Our first book was called Wild and Free. And the tagline of the book was for when you feel like you're too much and never enough. And we just noticed that a lot of women really wildly vacillated between those two feelings in several different areas in their life. And so how this book came about is that the whole book, Wild and Free, was about biblical identity. It was about biblical freedom. It was about just really stepping into the life that God has given to us as women. But we noticed that we kept hearing women really specifically wrestle over that phrase, too much and never enough. And over the last 2 years since Wild and Free has been out, we would hear women kind of constantly bring up different topical questions. What about when I feel this way? What about when I'm too needy? What about when I care too much about justice? What about when I feel quiet? How does the truth that I'm always enough and never too much still apply there? And so we thought, you know what, why don't we address all of those topics, all of those kind of topical questions with biblical truth really specifically through this book. So that's where the title comes from.
Okay, great. So Haley, so when you're talking about the truths, how is it presented to the reader? In other words, is it like a quick tip book? Is it more anecdotal? And is there, you know, is there any kind of like questions that you give the reader to ask themselves at each section? How's it laid out?
Yeah, it's really fun. So there's the two ideas that we're always enough and never too much. And it's actually set up like a flip book. So it's 50 devotions for when you feel like you're too much and 50 devotions for when you feel like you're not enough. So it is Jess and I, just like we did Wild and Free, we went kind of every other chapter. And so we walk you through 50 scenarios where you might feel like you're too much and 50 scenarios where you might feel like you're not enough. And we just expound on biblical scripture and also our personal experience and the experience of people that we know. And it's just it's about 500 words. So it's about a page or two, a short page or two. And it's just a really easy jumping off point. We tried to make it really applicable and also something where if something doesn't apply to you, that you could also go and you could encourage your friend in that. Because even though there's both of us writers, there's two different perspectives, it's still likely that not everything applies to you or that there's still things that you're hoping for encouragement on. So we really tried to set it up so that it was very easy to find in the table of contents where you could say, oh, I'm really struggling with my friends right now. I'm really feeling like every time I leave my Bible study, I feel like I just was too much. I dominated the conversation. I was too needy during prayer. I was whatever the things are that we might feel. And so we tried to make it really easy where you could just go straight to the table of contents and find what you were looking for.
Well, that sounds really great. And actually, I like the shorter, almost not sound bites, but a shorter little sections because we're busy. I just want to be able to go and like you said, and then it's all referenced well. So very quick and easy devotions. Jess, can you tell me overall, what's the target age range? Are we talking, it's not just moms, it sounds like it could be any woman.
Absolutely. We find this message really resonates with women 18 to 65, and some on the front end of that and some on the back end of that. And yeah, this book is not just for moms. It's definitely not just for women who are married. And all of the topics are really, really hit most women where they're at in whatever seasons they're in. We find most women are juggling a lot. Most women are feeling like they're coming up short. And so, yeah, we want to encourage them right where they're at in that season.
Right. I can see it in like a work meeting even sometimes when you try to get to the front of this, make your point. And then you think, did I come on too strong? Should I just back it off a little, So, and then give me an example, Haley, of an like when you felt like this, some instance where you thought you could have gone to your book and said, I know I could find something in the book that addressed when I was either too much or not enough.
Yeah. A big thing that I think I struggle with is this idea of I don't have enough to get through the day. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough in general. I am not enough. And so we address even really specific things like that. Like, what do you do when you have flat run out of energy? And it's just a really great way to kind of, it was a great exercise for us to really sit and think of all of the instances where we personally feel like this. And so it's a really good exercise in just looking at the truth, looking at the fact that God tells us that he will revive us, that he will kind of be our lifeline and he'll hold us up. And that we don't even put one breath in our body, let alone keep ourselves alive and going. So what we don't do for ourselves, God does for us, and he promises to sustain us. So that's one thing I tell myself over and over and over, and it's one thing that we expound on in the book.
Wonderful. So is there a website for the book, Jess?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, alwaysenoughnevertoomuch.com is where you can find out lots of info, see more quotes from the book, and find out where to buy it.
Okay, wonderful. So since it's your second book and you survived both, it is like having, you know, having a child, a book. And so you two are still friends, which is just a really great testament to the strength of your friendship and the strength of your message. Congratulations, ladies. And again, the book is available everywhere books are sold, alwaysenoughnevertoomuch.com. And we'll take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to shine the spotlight on moms. We'll be right back.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Before we welcome our next guest, I wanted to quickly mention another sponsor, Sleep Buddy. You'll find this really great night light for children who are either in a crib and getting ready to transition to a bed or in a bed and don't stay in the bed all night. And it's a really wonderful, easily programmable night light in blue or amber, very soothing tone. So the light stays on when your child needs to stay in bed and turns off when they can get up. So it's also doubles as a very functional night light. And Mom Talk Radio was pleased to welcome Sleep Buddy as our sponsor. Go to sleepbuddy.com and also available on Amazon. It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. It's the Spotlight on Moms. We're talking to Mrs. Kathy King. She's the mom of three children, 19, 17, and four, quite a gap. And she blogs at MrsKathyKing.com and tweets at Mrs. Kathy King. And we have worked together on Mom Select projects. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
We have worked together. I know you have a very thriving blog and social media presence. So tell our listeners a little bit about when you started blogging and why you started blogging first.
I had just left a corporate job. I was a senior account executive for an internet-based company selling online advertising. And I originally started blogging just to save money. So it was a hobby, and I would share different coupon. It was a coupon site where I would share different deals with my friends. However, about 2 years in, I was blessed to do my first press trip with Disney. And that changed everything into where the direction of the site started to go towards entertainment. And then flashback into 2018 that we're in. And now the site not only does children entertainment, we also offer party planning, recipes, and fun things for kids to do around LA.
So do you have like printables on the site? Those are awesome.
Yes, thank you. I'm blessed to have a husband that's an award-winning graphic designer.
So you are lucky.
After I started doing movie entertainment, we would check online and see where printables would be really expensive. And my husband was like, you know, if it's not licensed, they really shouldn't do it. So we started doing free printables on a lot of the latest movies. Last year, actually, we were blessed to do exclusive projects with Sony to do fun party printables for Smurfs, The Lost Village. We also did printables for the Emoji Movie and created custom 3D ornaments for the Star Movie last year.
That is awesome.
That was exclusive.
What a great partnership too. You've got, you've got the vehicle and he's got the graphic arts degree or design degree to background rather and talent to do that. That's just wonderful. Yes, so do you have tips for other moms who want to blog and, you know, offer services like that to their businesses or consumers?
Yes. You know, my thing is that with blogging, you always have to reinvent yourself because life is continuously changing. The industry is completely changing. So what helped me do party planning and custom printables is as I grew my blog, we started identifying what our strengths were, and we started integrating that into our site. So I always tell other bloggers, look at what your strength is. I know one blogger is really into health and wellness, and she's good at planning out menus. So now she offers a consulting on meal planning to other moms that want to lose weight. If you're a crafter and you love crafting, then you can always sell on Etsy. So the first tip is look for your strengths and see how you can incorporate it into your website. The second tip is do it step by step, because when you're running a blog, there's so many moving parts, it can be overwhelming. So make very small goals. So if you're a crafter, make a goal to maybe make one Afghan or one, you know, party favor for the week. If you do health and wellness, just make small plans, because those small plans will lead to the bigger goals that you have set.
Right.
And
very, very good point.
Third tip is enjoy it. Make it fun, because if it's not enjoyable, you're not going to be able to keep going when the blog is not as enjoyable.
What's the old cliche, do what you love?
Yes, do what you love, which I didn't understand at first until working on the site for over 8 years. Now I get it.
Well, it sounds like you've really actually been a very savvy businesswoman addition, because you've recognized that you do need to keep growing and evolving within the blog and the content. So congratulations on the success. And of course, and as you said, taking it in small pieces also helps, because you're a busy mom of three kids. That's also a separate full-time job, as we all know. So your blog again is MrsKathyKing.com, Kathy with a K, and you tweet at Mrs. Kathy King. I encourage our listeners to check it out. And it's a pleasure speaking with you, Kathy. We'll be right back.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, how to feed your child, to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
I'm pleased to welcome our next guest, Robert Hessel. He has over 20 years experience in the tech and security industry. He is the CEO of Source One Solutions, and the website is sourceonesecurity.com, and that's the numeral one. And we're talking about a very, very important topic, which is safety for our children in the age of social media, computers, et cetera. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Robert.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
First of all, tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to arrive as the CEO of Source One, and then you've got a book out on, it's called Safe City. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I'd be happy to. So I was in the United States Navy, so I'm a fourth generation military service. And when I got out of the service, after a couple other jobs that weren't related to what I did in the Navy, I got into technology. And over the years, one of the companies that I worked for when I was moving through the ranks actually had a commercial and residential security business unit inside of it. So that was my first introduction to security. And I really fell in love with it, because it's actually a job where we're doing something, in my opinion, that can really make a difference. We're either protecting somebody's largest personal asset, which is usually their home, and keeping their family safe, or we are protecting a stadium or a large stadium where there's tons of spectators going in to enjoy an event. And it's our job to help work with those facilities to help create a safe experience so that the fans can be in attendance and hopefully nothing goes wrong and they're safe and sound while they enjoy a game or a concert.
Right. That's very important. And unfortunately, in the last few months, but we've had such major events happening that really have stressed the need for security for large gatherings of people. The book is called Safe City from Law Enforcement to Neighborhood Watches. Tell us a little bit about the book. Is it your stories? Is it more research based? Tell us a little bit of what the book contains.
It's both, and you're right. Your point was very good about, there's been a lot of different things happening over the years where, in the past, we saw things that were happening overseas or around us that now are happening here. And it's created a sense of uneasiness with a lot of your listeners. And that was really the whole point of Safe City, was to write a book that took my experiences, also with research, with the connections that I had, and give somebody a look all the way from the day in the life of a police officer to the planning that goes into a large event like a concert or something that's happening in a park or even a bridge run. If you wanted to do a charity event, a 5K mm-hmm. bridge run, what's all the planning that goes into it? And then also the business community and the residents and the people of a community, their role in what it takes to make a city safe. So hopefully these provide some insights and make people feel a little bit more secure about going into venues in their communities and realizing how safe we actually really are.
Okay, good. So let's switch the topic a little bit to our children and our families. And you'd started out by saying you do security for even from homes to stadiums. What's the safe age for kids to be on social media, in your opinion, and through your research, and how, as parents, can we keep our kids safe on social media?
So that is a great topic, and we could talk for days and days about that. A whole show on just that topic alone. But I think it really has to be up to the parent. I think there is a lot of negative things about social media because it is such a feedback loop of look at me and how glamorous things are that it creates a false sense of what really is going on in the world. Also, there's lots of things that parents need to be concerned about. So if they're going to allow their children to have social media, they definitely need to monitor it. Inadvertently, kids could make themselves a target by posting where they are, or even make their family a target by, posting pictures while we're on a family vacation. And that goes for adults, too. I mean, if you're taking pictures from Hawaii and posting them all over the internet, people now know that you're not home because your family's gone, and it could create a target for somebody to burglarize your house.
True. And I heard that too. And somebody said recently, like, summer vacation's coming. Don't put your itinerary on Facebook, So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wait till you get back to post those pictures, look at our family vacation. And I see a lot of adults do it too. It's tempting to do it, but it really is exposing yourself to potentially becoming a victim of a crime.
That's a good point. Do you have any tips for, I guess, I don't know if your book addresses it, but raising awareness in kids about safety without making them fearful, because I feel like we're seeing, again, as we talked about, there's been so many horrific events happening, but in terms of ages and stages, what's your advice for parents?
Yeah, well I think kids need to be educated the technologies are being deployed here, like video surveillance and the different things that are going on. Those, it's not to be creepy. Those are good things to help keep these kids safe. And, we're obviously tiptoeing around a topic for sure, but we definitely need to see some changes with budgets and things like that to create a safer environment where our kids are spending a lot of time. And I don't want to get off on, Second Amendment rights or anything like that. But the biggest problem that these schools have is they don't have any budgets to be able to deploy technologies that they need to harden the schools and not make them such an easy target.
Right. That is, it's a very big topic. Back to being for our homes and our safety, are there any you know, low level, easy to do security measures we should be taking that we might overlook to keep our families safe?
Sure. There is, outside of even technology, is just really do a walk around your property and see if you've got vulnerability points. If there's, you know, trees that are growing over and covering a back window where neighbors couldn't see. I mean, those are spots where people that want to do bad things look for easy access to break into your house. So look around your house and see if there's vulnerabilities, or if areas are, you could clean them up and make them more visible. So that way, if somebody was in your backyard, they'd be noticeable. And another great tip is make friends with your neighbors so that they're looking out for you and you're looking out for them as well.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. Okay, so the book is Safe City, From Law Enforcement to Neighborhood Watches. It's available everywhere books are sold. And your website is sourceonesecurity.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's the numeric one. And there is lots of free contact. You don't have to give us an email address or anything else like that for our blogs, where we write around, you know, safety tips like this for children, do's and don'ts of being on vacation, and all that stuff is free on that website for people to access.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's going to be a great resource. And we will post that link on momtalkradio.com when the show is posted next week. Thanks so much, Robert, for joining us. And after we'll take a quick break, Dr. Nicole Avena, she is the author of What to Feed Your Baby and Toddler. We'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Nicole Avena. She is the author of What to Feed Your Baby and Toddler. Dr. Avena is a research neuroscientist and expert in the fields of nutrition, diet, and addiction. And we're going to be talking about what to feed the little ones. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Avena.
Oh, thanks so much. Happy to be here.
And let me quickly mention your website as well. It's Dr. Nicole Avena, DrNicoleAvena, AVENA.com, correct?
That's correct. Thanks.
Great. So when did the book come out? And tell us a little bit about what our listeners can find in it on what to feed babies and toddlers.
Sure. The book came out just last week. And so it's brand new right off the press.
Congratulations.
And really Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's actually, it's been sort of a labor of love, if you will. I got inspired to write the book in part because of my own children, and being a doctor and, you know, a scientist studying nutrition, I found that there really wasn't a lot of good information for new parents about what healthy foods you can feed your baby and toddler. I mean, we all know it's important to get them good nutrition and, you know, focus on trying to get fruits and vegetables into them, but there's actually a lot of science behind ways in which you can really encourage healthy eating, and more so why it's so important. And so that was really the sort of basis for writing the book, was to help new parents learn about the new science about how you can encourage baby to eat well and healthy foods, and also include some practical tips for new parents on, you know, ways in which you can sort of navigate this whole new area of life. When you start feeding a baby, it can be sometimes stressful, especially if you haven't done it before.
Right. And each child is so different that some might be eating certain foods at certain ages and others aren't. And what's the right thing for your baby? So your book addresses that topic as well?
Yes, I pay a lot of attention to that, because I notice even among my two children, there was a lot of variability in terms of when they're ready for different textures. And, you know, some children just have a more sensitive gag reflex than others. And so for some babies, you know, they can start maybe with, like, you know, thicker, chunkier pieces when they're maybe 8 months. But some babies need to wait a little bit longer, and it's closer to when they're like 10 months or 11 months. And so I talk a lot about, you know, different options of ways you can keep the variety of foods up, make sure that your baby's getting lots of different choices and you're trying lots of different things, but have it be consistent with where they are developmentally, and really kind of walk parents through, you know, the variability that exists in terms of how much, you know, window there is in terms of when certain babies might be ready, whereas others might need to wait a little while.
That's great. I would have loved this. And I love that you are putting the science behind it, because to me, I would have, I research everything anyway, you know. Unfortunately, it's all of Dr. Google, but I'd rather have, you know, your background, which is amazing, and quite thorough, but telling me, you know, this is what's behind it. So you mentioned the word, actually a phrase you used at the beginning of the segment, said, you said new science. Can you explain what is new and what is, you know, are there anything that's tried and true and what's new? tell us?
Yeah, so that's a really, you know, big part of the book is kind of the update of the science. I mean, we all know, okay, the guidelines that have been passed down for generations essentially tell us, you know, start off feeding baby fruits and vegetables and, you know, try it a couple of days, wait until they're between 4 to 6 months. And so there's a lot of information that's kind of been around for a while, but there's actually a lot of new research that suggests that some of that information is not quite so accurate anymore. So for instance, it's now suggested that everybody wait until the baby is at least 6 months old before you start solids. And there's lots of research that suggests that it's not a good idea to start when baby is 4 months or 5 months. It's really important to wait until 6 months. And there's also a lot of new research out now about ways in which you can train the baby to develop a preference for some foods that, you know, babies aren't necessarily going to jump right at. So lots of the vegetables that maybe aren't necessarily sweet or might have a little bit of bitterness to them. There's been studies that have been done that show that if you repeatedly offer the baby the same vegetable for like 8 to 10 times, they eventually develop a liking for it. And so I found that to be very important information for parents because, you know, we typically try something a couple of times and if baby doesn't like it, we say, okay, let's move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. But there's research that changes that the way we think about that approach. And so I think that's important for parents to know about all the research on this area.
Definitely. And I think as you know, my youngest is 11, so I've been a few years to remove from baby food, but I remember I was a label reader. I really, again, about the research, and I wanted to see the label and what was really in that and how much sugar and how much, you know, so it's, where does the book talk about, does it talk about labels and what we need to look for and avoid and too much sugar, really fruit was what, you know, mashed bananas and fruit, but all that sugar I hear now is not the thing.
Yeah. So one of the things, yeah, definitely, and the book covers a lot of this because a lot of, you know, especially when you get to the toddler age, when babies are making, you know, more independent food choices and they're, you know, developing preferences and they're aware that, you know, cookies and candy and cakes exist, you need to have some strategies to sort of limit it because otherwise babies are going to want to just, you know, eat that stuff all day long. But in terms of baby food for little ones, one of the things that we're noticing in terms of the labels, the labels are pretty transparent these days, but one of the things we see in a lot of the commercially available foods is that they're loaded with fruit. And fruit can be great, and it's a healthy part of the baby's diet, but it shouldn't be baby's entire diet. And so if you buy a commercially available, you know, puree of a vegetable blend, often there's like 3 or 4 different fruits in it to mask the little bit of vegetable that's in it. So it's important the baby actually tastes vegetables and has a development of the preference for that particular taste and doesn't become oversweetened with too much fruit early on.
Right. That's a great point. So we have to unfortunately wrap because we probably do a whole nother segment with you, Dr. Avina. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the book is called What to Feed Your Baby and Toddler, and it's available wherever books are sold. And the website is Dr. Nicole Avina, DrNicoleAvena. Congratulations on the book. And when we return, we are digging in the archives for a favorite show. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
To round out this fantastic episode of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Keisha Gaither. She is a double board certified physician in OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Gaither.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you have an OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine. When it comes to, you know, maternal health, is there a disparity in statistics between women's death rates?
There is. Among the perinatal arena, I would say African-American women and Latina women, but particularly African-American women seem to be having a hard time with mortality rates, pretty much, depending on where you are, reaching those levels in the third world. So it's a question as to really what is really going on here, because it encompasses all demographic strata. So it's not just impoverished women, it's women along all monetary strata.
Right. And what is it that do you know, or is there research out there that says what is leading to this disparity? And what can we do? What's the solution?
You know, I think it's multifactorial. I think that some of it comes from delayed prenatal care. Some of it comes from being, you know, in places where the physicians might not necessarily see the types of pathologies that are coming in. Some of it might have to do with, you know, poor dietary habits. I mean, I think it's just multifactorial.
What can women, pregnant women, do? Because I think it also, obviously, if there's risk, at-risk pregnancies, they lead to more premature birth risk, correct?
Exactly. Well, what I think is the best thing is if there are any if there's a woman who wishes to become pregnant and she has any underlying comorbidity, such as hypertension, diabetes, sickle cell anemia, it is best to see your doctor before you conceive in order to get whatever underlying issues that you may have under control before you get pregnant, because what you have, your baby is going to end up being affected by it. If you're an uncontrolled right. diabetic, you're putting your baby at risk for a whole host of things that, you know, if you're controlled, won't necessarily come to play. So that is my best advice. When it comes to nutrition, I think that there are some things that moms can do to help during the process of conception. One of them is, of course, to take folic acid to prevent neural tube defects. But another thing that I think is also helpful for a number of reasons is vitamin D supplementation. For whatever reason, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that African Americans and people of color don't make vitamin D as readily as Caucasian people.
Okay.
So their vitamin D levels are low. And if you add this to the fact that there's a high concentration of people of color in cities where, you know, you're living in tall buildings, you're taking
not getting outside. Right.
Exactly. You're not getting outside mm-hmm. to have that sunlight to help in the production of vitamin D, which, by the way, is made it in our skin. You're at an increased risk. Now, vitamin D can confer a number of benefits for you. If you're deficient, you're at risk for cardiovascular issues. You're at risk for depression. And if you're pregnant, you know, there has been a correlation with vitamin D deficiency and the increased incidence of preterm labor. And as mm-hmm. we know, preterm labor is one of the conditions that contribute to, you know, adverse perinatal morbidity and mortality. So,
right.
you know, taking your vitamin D might be helpful. Now, how do you know whether you're not deficient? You can ask your doctor to check it, or there are websites where you can actually purchase a kit, and one of the good websites is nutrientpower.org. And it's helpful to, you know, take a look at that site. It has a lot of information on vitamins and deficiencies, and you can purchase your kit there. And in addition, you know, can, if you elect, to be part of a survey looking at vitamin D levels throughout the country. So I think that's a
interesting. So nutrientpower.org, I'm going to give the websites really quick. And your website is KeishaGaither.com. I'm going to spell that KeishaGaither. Thank you so much for joining us. And this is such an important topic for moms and prospective moms out there. And I think too, I'm not sure if we have time, but a prenatal vitamin, if it has enough vitamin D in it, is that typically across the board that a prenatal vitamin would, or would you have to take that to a doctor and see if the level of vitamin D is acceptable? In other words, a prenatal vitamin that covers a lot of different nutrients and vitamins.
Generic ones typically have a certain small percentage of vitamin D, but it's helpful to find out what your level is, particularly
yeah.
if you're a person of color and living in a city. That's very helpful.
Gotcha. So you might need to take an additional vitamin D. Got it. Okay. So thank you so much again for joining us, Dr. Gaither, and thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Mom Talk Radio. Our guests will be on the archive show available at momtalkradio.com next week. See you next week for another great show.